Welcome to EduShot, Episode 1. I'm Nathan Alizar.
And I'm Bella Mendoza.
And we are coming to you from the University of Chicago to discuss student-teacher relationships during COVID-19.
We spoke with three educators in Chicago public schools, one from the city's Woodlawn neighborhood and two from the Grand Crossing neighborhood. From talking with these educators, we learned about the challenges and successes around forming student-teacher relationships during remote learning.
In this first installment of the EduShot podcast, we will first look at some of the challenges Chicago continues to face from COVID-19 and dive into some of the obstacles that the city's public school educators faced when trying to build relationships with students. And lastly, delve into the techniques educators use to overcome these obstacles.
The pandemic has left a devastating impact on the United States. Over 32.9 million people have contracted COVID-19, and over 586,000 have lost their lives to this dangerous disease.
Even beyond these enormous casualties from COVID-19, U.S. businesses and schools shut down, and countless Americans lost their jobs, leaving many struggling to get by during this crisis.
The situation in Chicago has been no different. 550,000 residents of Chicago have contracted the virus, many of whom ultimately died. The city's Black and Brown populations have been hit especially hard due to underlying health and socioeconomic conditions, which have gone unaddressed by city officials for years.
COVID-19 has dealt a particularly heavy blow to public education in Chicago. In the spring semester of 2020, public schools across Illinois closed and proceeded to implement remote instruction. From March through June of 2020, Chicago public school students and educators alike had to cope with an academic environment that was like no other, one where they were isolated from one another, and learning and relationship building was reduced to whatever educators and students could communicate over Zoom or Google Meet. Early during the pandemic, CPS teachers recognized the challenge that remote learning posed on the maintaining and building of relationships with their students.
Mr. Murphy, a middle school teacher who teaches in Chicago's Woodlawn neighborhood, remembers how small interactions built connections that students and educators often took for granted before COVID-19.
Those moments of connection and being there, you know, to hear a student out or just to check in if you notice something or whatever, is not during class. You know what I mean? It's like, You know, we're waiting for the restroom or like we're dropping, you know, picking you up from recess or whatever. And it's like those moments that you just don't have digitally, because it's like, okay, class started, everybody comes in, class is over, everybody leaves. And there wasn't really a lot of time for like small group where you could even like in a group of five kind of make those connections.
When the school year started remotely in the fall of 2020, these little moments that Mr. Murphy spoke of had disappeared. He believes that virtual classrooms stopped students from getting to know their teachers and prevented the teachers from beginning to build relationships with their students. This situation forced educators to rethink how they build connections with their students.
Mr. Urban is an educator in Chicago's Grand Crossing neighborhood and teaches grades 6 through 12. Mr. Urban often thinks about the differences between remote and in-person instruction and questions whether teachers can really maintain relationships with their students remotely.
You know, I when we're in person, you know, pop into a bunch of classrooms. I'll take small groups. I will, you know, go on field trips and build relationships that way. And so there's not a day that goes by that I'm not interacting with young people when we're in person. That's been a lot harder in the remote environment, because you have to be far more intentional about, you know, scheduling, hey, I'm going to be in this room, I need the link to get there. And also, what's my purpose?
For Mr. Roll, a high school educator in Grand Crossing as well, who primarily teaches ninth grade students, remote learning has limited informal student-teacher interactions and the fostering of enjoyable classroom environments.
And I think for me, the connection of like telling a corny joke or like, you know, being my corny self and like seeing all their smiles and like seeing them like roll their eyes and like laugh at me, like those types of connections are missing when they don't have cameras on or when everybody's on mute. And I miss that.
Educators not being able to see the smiles on their students' faces while they try to lighten up the mood in their classrooms once again demonstrates how COVID-19 affected student-teacher relationships. Remote learning restricted the ways educators could interact with their students on a day-to-day basis and made it more difficult to support students both in and out of the classroom. Student-teacher relationships were more important than ever because of the intense level of anxiety that students faced during the pandemic. Every day in class, Mr. Murphy hears about the anxiety his middle school students experience.
We've definitely had students sharing out about, and families as well, when contacting families, that, like, you know, more students are experiencing depression, more students are experiencing anxiety, you know, and it's not just COVID, right? It's everything in our society here in America right now.
The mental and emotional toll of the pandemic on CPS's predominantly Black and Brown student population, combined with the police violence and national unrest we saw last summer, left many students distracted from their schoolwork.
Another distraction students faced was chaotic learning spaces at home. The lack of student engagement from these spaces has prevented students from interacting with educators in the classroom and reaching out for their support outside of class. Chaotic homes that limit students' focus on school then have weakened student-teacher relationships even more.
You know, a lot of them are operating in homes that are chaotic, and they have other siblings who are also doing online, some kind of online learning. You know, they have siblings who are watching TV, and I think that there's been this, you know, like, set up your space, right?
On top of the anxiety students face from not finding a suitable place to learn and seeing their community suffer with the public health crisis and police violence, many students also struggle with technology at home. Students' technology issues include a lack of Wi-Fi access, poor internet quality, and ineffective computers. Ineffective devices were especially problematic in Mr. Irvin's classes, despite CPS granting a laptop for every student.
The Chromebooks that you got a year ago, they've been living a hard life at home, and, like, you know, maybe your internet connection isn't the best. Maybe your camera's been busted over the course of the year. And so, you know, just like there are, it's like there are small tech problems that really get in the way, that, you know, in different communities and in higher income communities, you know, your Chromebook has a, you know, your mic's broken or broken, or your camera's broken. That's all right. We're going to give you a new one. Or, hey, actually, now you've got the only computer in the house, so we're all going to be using it, right? Because we didn't have one before. That's a real challenge.
With issues of poor internet connectivity and ineffective technology disproportionately harming Chicago's lower-income communities, teachers had a hard time building relationships with their students. This then begs the question, what mechanisms did educators use to overcome these challenges and strengthen student-teacher relationships?
Now, while COVID-19 has taken a toll on public education in Chicago over the last year, the city's educators have utilized strategies to overcome challenges to relationship building with their students.
The pandemic has severely limited the informal interactions between educators and their students. However, Mr. Murphy, Mr. Irvin, Mr. Roll, and many other educators have worked to maintain these informal interactions despite the circumstances. Moments of connection are lost when students enter a Google Meet classroom, only to stay on mute with their videos off for the entire class. Mr. Murphy sought to create new opportunities to mimic student-teacher interactions before COVID by reaching out to students who logged on to the video call before class and inviting people to stay after just to chat.
Early on, especially, like, a couple of the eighth grade students that I had in my homeroom last year, it was like a race to get in early so that we could check in. So, like, just starting up to meet a couple minutes early so that we can talk. And, you know, if people stay at the end, that happened a couple times as well too, where if it's like people cutting out to lunch and like a couple people hang out, we chat for a few minutes. And so just kind of finding those outside of the class times to be able to have those little moments was, I think, the best success I had with that.
Mr. Irvin and Mr. Roll have also set aside time to address the lack of student-teacher relationship building during remote learning. Mr. Irvin uses class time to form connections with his students and better understand their needs.
We learned early on that when we took time out just to build relationships with young people at the beginning of program, whether it was gardening or art or Upward Bound or Leaps and Bounds, when we took just like the first 10, 15 minutes to be like, hey, we're going to talk about whatever, no agenda here, just like hang out with your friends, talk, build relationships. Now, we really saw attendance and engagement jump because that's what everybody has really been missing.
Mr. Roll, meanwhile, is more focused on building relationships with students outside of class, making herself more available to meet with students throughout the week.
You just don't know the connections that you're building. And I really use that as an opportunity to like talk to the young people about like, just ask for everything that you need, because in most cases, people really will give it to you. If what you want to do is hang out with me on a Google Meet for an hour every week, ask. Okay. Like, I'll put it on my calendar. Let's do it right now. Like, just ask for what you need, because most people are very willing to give it to you.
All three educators use these informal conversations over Google Meet to remind their students that they are not going through this crisis alone and that their instructors will always be here for them. As educators spend more time supporting their students' social and emotional health, they strengthen their relationships with students. These relationships then often contribute to greater student engagement in the virtual classroom and a more enjoyable learning environment for all.
While technology has served as a barrier for students learning during this crisis, some educators utilized technology in ways outside of its original intended use to build and maintain relationships with their students. Mr. Murphy, for instance, utilized a school-provided app, GoGuardian, in an innovative way.
Our school has been using this app called GoGuardian, which is very like, NSA, you can kind of like see the student's Chromebook screen basically, but it has this cool chat feature, which like did work really well. And it wasn't something that I started the year with, but I've been using it more frequently. And it's just a good way to like, obviously keep students on track and like answer questions and give feedback if I'm seeing something on their screen, but also just to kind of check in, And so that's been a way to kind of directly message students at times. And then, I think the technology has been a benefit. That's like one of the silver linings to all this, or like all of the new programs that allow students to, it's a lot more participatory than, me having to like literally walk around and see everybody's notebook. I can just see everybody's response to a Google form.
With technical issues affecting student laptops, Mr. Roll implemented Google Voice in her classrooms, a messaging service that allowed her to more easily contact her students. This tool not only allowed Mr. Roll to text assignment reminders to her students, but also send informal messages asking how students are doing generally. This new service, in addition to email, protected the safety and security of students and educators, as no phone numbers were actually exchanged.
We now have Google Voice numbers where we are able to send texts, and I think that has really helped. My young people are really, really responsive to me via text, like shockingly so, even when they're being called out or, but I think the other thing is that one of the mindset shifts that I have made is to really try to operate from a place of grace first. So, if somebody is missing, instead of the text message being like, the expectation is that if you are not in program, you notify, instead being like, hey, you were missing today. Like, is everything okay? What's going on? It's walking this fine balance, but I think in the pandemic, we have to operate from a place of like, everybody's doing their best and really try to help young people. So while they will still get that message, of, hey, this is the expectation and like, this is what I need for you to do. That's not the first message that they get. The first one is just like checking in and making sure that they're okay. And for that reason, I think that they're really responsive.
Whether technology or household responsibilities prevents students from participating in class, Ms. Durrell has become more understanding of her students' living situations and has used technology to save class material and prevent her students from falling behind if they are absent.
You know, the point of this is not for you to frustrate. Like, we'll record it and you can watch it later when your internet's better. So I think for me, you know, connection building is all about just empathizing with what they have going on as much as possible and letting them know that and letting them know, I think, like, in their mind, right, there's always this thing that, like, if I say I can't do something, like, I'm in trouble. And so I try to say to them, like, if we ask you to do an assignment and you can't get that assignment done, maybe you have other priorities that you need to take care of at that moment, send me an email. Say, hey, I won't be able to get this done by this deadline. Here's when you can expect it from me.
Ms. Durrell also makes sure to adjust for her students' screen fatigue, especially for those who have ADHD and zone out during class. She does this by allowing students to simply look away from the screen for a period of time or even doodle on a sketch pad. These methods are ultimately successful in getting Ms. Durrell's students to engage more in class and better absorb the information she conveys over Google Meet.
Chicago public educators were able to build and maintain student-teacher relationships by using these strategies. With their successes over the last year, educators hope to continue engaging with students in such innovative ways when classes are in person.
Now, with CPS likely to resume in-person classes in September, how are educators feeling about maintaining and building relationships with their students through this change? Mr. Irvin senses optimism, although he also acknowledges that there will be a learning curve.
I think everyone's going to be really excited, and then I think no one's going to know what to do. So my view is, like, everybody's in kindergarten again this year, right? It's like we all have to learn how to do school again. We all have to learn how to be with each other again, adults and young people. My kind of the analogy I've been using is that we're all out of shape.
Mr. Rule, though, is more concerned that the shift to in-person instruction will mean a return to Chicago public schools not prioritizing student-teacher relationships and students' social and emotional health.
And I feel concerned that a lot of young people are going to be re-traumatized coming back in person because the level of anxiety that they're going to have, like the level of anxiety I have as like a grown person with like a grown person brain when I'm like in a public space for an extended period of time, it's like substantial. And I can't imagine if my, you know, frontal lobe wasn't fully developed and, you know, my prefrontal cortex was still working. But there's a real opportunity here to make a change as young people come back. And I hope that it's viewed as that opportunity. I think my hopeful answer is that young people know that I am here personally to support them. That is my job. That should be every adult in who's interacting with young people, like that should be their job. And they need so much grace as they come back into this and so much support. And I hope that it's there for them.
So while educators have utilized effective methods to retain and build relationships with their students, concern remains for educators as in-person classes resume.
It will take some time getting teachers and students comfortable again with in-person instruction. Educators will have to make up for lost instructional time from the pandemic and ease students' transition to in-person classes after a difficult year. Students will have to recommit to their classes and learn to cope with their anxiety from the pandemic. But the successes over the last year demonstrate that educators will find a way to build and maintain their relationships with their students, no matter what challenges they face.